Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who put their trust in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you remember the best meal that you have ever eaten? Maybe it was the first time you tried a new cuisine and you fell in love and wanted to learn more about the culture it came from. Maybe it was your grandparents' Thanksgiving dinner, where you could smell pie baking as you loaded up your plate with 100 dishes that never taste quite the same when you try to make them yourself. Maybe it was just a good time at a great restaurant with some friends, a perfect night out that you'll always remember fondly when you think of them. I remember my best meal ever. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. Murray was something like 1.5, I think. And one night for dinner, late in the week, when I had run low on groceries, I made a kind of simple lentil soup. Carrots, onions, celery, some lentils, some chicken broth, a little rice. I think I made some toast, maybe a salad. Nothing too complicated. This was not the best meal I've ever eaten. The best meal I've ever eaten came a few hours later from Shake Shack. Don't get me wrong, homemade lentil soup and salad and toast is a delicious feast for a couple of monks in mid to late Lent. However, it was not Lent, and I have the appetite of 6 or 7 monks, and so I could not be satisfied by my own cooking. And later that night, still not full after several trips to the pantry for stoned wheat thins, I fired up Grubhub on my phone. What would hit the spot, I wondered. Maybe a double cheeseburger with lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, some spicy brown mustard to be added at home. And why not? A side of fries. And then knowing that the food would arrive when it was still a little bit before my 1.5-year-old's bedtime, and that this would spell catastrophe for my plan to eat the hamburger, I thought I would add a second one. And so it was, as I stood side by side with my toddler at our 3-foot-wide galley kitchen counter with Murray in the learning tower and me standing right here, sleeves rolled up, absolutely devouring a couple of hamburgers together, that I thought to myself, this is one of the greatest moments of my life. It may be that your tastes are a little more refined than mine. Fair enough. But no matter what, the same things matter in that perfect meal. Aroma and flavor and texture, these are the things that make a food delicious. But the things that make a meal itself memorable are usually a little different. Not just the food, but the emotions and the relationships that surround it, and a good amount of luck and chance. You may have eaten the same thing 100 times, until once you're just hungry enough and just relaxed enough, and the company is just good enough that it's something special. Or more often than not, it's the other way around. You eat something once and it's this perfect meal, and you try to get the recipe and you try to recreate it for yourself, but it's never quite the same. Because it turns out that the secret to grandma's gravy all along was not that drop of Tabasco sauce at the end. It was that there's nothing better than being an 8-year-old on Thanksgiving Day, full of mashed potatoes and surrounded by the people you love. At least that's what I love about Thanksgiving. So taste and see that the Lord is good, writes the psalmist. Taste and see. Last week, after enjoying Shops and Louise's baking at coffee hour, I was chatting with one of our fellow parishioners who's not here, but I'll let her be anonymous so I don't embarrass her. And she made a joke to me. It was something like, well, I don't just come to St. John's for coffee hour, but I come to St. John's for coffee hour. And I said to her, you know, if you want to sound really pious and spiritual while also being completely honest, you can just say, I come here to be fed. Spiritual life, after all, is not so different from a meal. Most Sundays when we come here to worship, most weekdays if you sit down to pray, it's probably like an ordinary home dinner, solid, nourishing, and forgettable. And it should be. I am a professional church person, and I would struggle to tell you maybe 10 sermons that I'd heard or given in my life, 10 worship services that really knocked my socks off. We come here, we enjoy the music, we sing the old familiar hymns. We're sometimes reminded of what a preacher said 3 or 6 or 9 years ago about a reading. But for the most part, we come, and we're fed, and we go home, full, but not on fire for Jesus, satisfied, but not transformed in some way. But then there are those meals. Then there are those moments of worship or preaching or prayer that catch us by surprise. Those moments when God reaches out through the ordinary things in our Sunday mornings and takes us by the hand. For whatever reason, we're in the right state of mind or in the right place in our lives or with the right people. We're standing at the right kitchen counter, and suddenly we taste and see that the Lord is good. We have the kind of extraordinary experience that only happens once in a while, but that can sustain our faith for years. And then we tell people about these experiences, right? Just like we tell a friend about a great new restaurant in town, just like some of you told me that Jenny's Pizza was the place to go, although it's not open on Sundays. Just like I told you just now about the best hamburger I've ever eaten. We meet God in prayer, and then we bless the Lord at all times, as the psalm says. His praise is ever in our mouths. We say to one another, "Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt his name together." We look upon God and are radiant, and we let not our faces be ashamed. We come to church and we encounter something awe-inspiring. We taste and see that the Lord is good. And when our friends ask us how our weekend was, we answer them, "Well, let me tell you about this Sunday. Let the humble hear and rejoice. I sought the Lord and he answered me." Right? Right? No, come on. Really? As a matter of fact, I think most of us don't, right? We don't share those experiences. This is Boston, come on. We taste and see that God is good, but we don't, like, talk about it. Perhaps our spiritual lives seem too personal or private. Perhaps our friends or colleagues aren't religious or would seem inappropriate, right? Perhaps we worry that if we talk about Jesus, people are going to get us confused with the guy I see every time I go to a Red Sox game outside Fenway Park, right, with the Jesus is Lord, repent and believe sandwich board, while 30,000 people walk by trying to ignore his gaze. It can feel like evangelism. And evangelism is not a word that most of us are comfortable with, for good reasons, for the most part. But all that evangelism means is sharing good news. Look again at our psalm this morning, Psalm 34. We don't often talk about the plots of the Psalms. They're poems and songs. Like most poems and songs, they don't necessarily have a storyline to follow. But some of them do. They come with these little introductory sentences in the Bible. This week says, "Of David, when he feigned madness before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away." It's a reference to a story from 1 Samuel. It's not just a generic song of praise of God. It's David's very specific song of thanksgiving, when he's gotten out of a tight spot, when he's escaped from a neighboring king who he thinks maybe wants to imprison or kill him. "I sought the Lord," David says, "and he answered me in a very specific way. He delivered me out of all my terror. I called in my affliction, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my troubles." David invites us to worship with him. "Taste and see. Proclaim with me," he says. But it doesn't come out of nowhere. It starts with a specific story of a moment when David tasted and saw that God was good, and he wants you to taste it too. David has some good news. There's something amazing that's happened to me, and he wants to share it. And that is what evangelism is. If that's what evangelism is, then maybe it's something that we can do too without fear. It isn't trying to persuade someone that my beliefs are right and theirs are wrong. It is, as a common saying goes, one hungry person telling another where she found some bread. It's sharing the amazing good news about the restaurant that just opened down the street. And I don't mean talking about how wonderful St. John's is or how great the Episcopal Church is. We are, and it is, right? I mean talking about how wonderful God is, about that incredible encounter that you had with the Holy Spirit once, about this lesson that you learned from Jesus and have never forgotten. It's about telling a story of a time that you were fed, inviting someone else who's hungry to give it a try. I'm not sure whether this is what you're looking for or not, but why don't you taste and see? If you want to know what this can look like, pay attention this fall to the bulletin. Some of the members of our church have written reflections this fall that we're printing and sharing in News and Notes and online in the bulletin. And because it's October, we're calling these stewardship reflections. But they're a kind of evangelism, too. They're a kind of sharing of good news. They're reflections on the gifts that we've been given by God and by this church. I can say this because she's not here to be embarrassed. Laura Scoville wrote the first one this week, and it's really, really good. It's on the last page of the bulletin. Feel free to look at it during the rest of this sermon. It's only about 10 seconds. So read it, if you don't have a chance. Read them this fall. Hear from one another the stories of what God and what this church have done in your lives. Think of the times when you felt God's love made real to you. And then think about whether there's a person who needs to hear that story of what's happened in your life. Or listen for a moment when it might be appropriate to tell. Share those stories with one another in this church and with the people in your life who may need to hear them, who may be hungry for the meal that you've eaten here. I suspect you all have those stories. Suspect you've had those moments when God drew near to you. It's no accident that you're here today. It's because somewhere, at some point, you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So why not look upon him and be radiant and let not your faces be ashamed? Why not be like David and tell a story of a time you sought the Lord and he answered you? Or why not just tell someone that you come here to be fed, however literal that may be? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.